bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show, we have a guest, Mr. Bill Monick, who is a wingman, a facilitator in the WINGS program for several years over at the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And Bill, thank you for joining us.
I'm delighted to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate it. And for our listening audience, again, WINGS is now in its 30th year, and we have really covered a lot of territory in going to more than 100 schools, 8 prisons, including 3 of which were in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And Bill Monick joined us as a facilitator and is now a wingman, as he received the Wingman of the Year Award several years ago. And Bill, it's just an honor to have you with us here at Holy Spirit Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. And I have to tell you that becoming a wingman and being involved in the prison system rehabilitation has been a highlight of my life. And even in my religious career with you, and the things that I've learned are just amazing. The lives that we touch each time we get involved with the WINGS program.
Absolutely, Bill. And, you know, for our listening audience, once again, today we're going to be talking about some of the victories that we have gone through, both Bill and I, in the WINGS program. And also we're going to discuss the challenges that we have in, meeting and greeting people who have an aversion to the existence of God. The atheists out there, the agnostics, that liberal entity out there who really is opposed to the Word of God in our society. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And, you know, Bill, in our WINGS program, we've run into more than 1,800 people in the last 10 years, and many of which who are of the Islam faith, the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, but the Islam faith is pretty prominent inside, the prison systems throughout the country. And so, so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I'd like to kick off just with one memory. If you recall, Bill, at a graduation, we had a gentleman who said something very profound as a compliment in the WINGS graduation. If you recall, he was of the Islam faith. Do you recall that?
I do.
Would you mind telling the story on that, Bill?
Well, it was a graduation. There was about 30 men. There were women there as well, and also the invited guests of the prisoners, the inmates. And this one Islamic fellow stood up, and this was my first opportunity to see this in play out in the way that it did. But he stood up and he addressed the entire group of men and women, and he said, "You know, this Joe Montone, I respect this man so much. I may not agree with his religion, with his faith, but I respect him for who he is and what he has taught us in this classroom environment with the Wings program.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Bill. You know, but to get to that level, you know, for me is fascinating because you're in a maximum security jail where you could be killed for, you know, doing something very minor to another inmate. And here we arrived at the level where a man could, in front of his peers and family members, you know, many people, talk about respect for us in the Wings program, even when we're of the, you know, the Christian faith versus the Islam faith. And I really look at that as a diamond in the rough, really something special that affirms what we do. And I'm so glad that you were there to witness that because, you know, we have, you know, many, many men have come through the program, more than, you know, as I said, 1,800 in the last 10 years. And with that, we never know who the man in front of us really is until we get to know him. And when they trust us, they can reveal themselves in different ways, you know, but it takes 50 hours, 10 weeks, 20 sessions to really get into the heart and mind of other men so that they trust you. And with that, at the end, when the graduation comes, we see, you know, some beautiful speeches that were made by some of our men. And that's just an affirmation, Bill, that, you know, we're on the right page.
Well, I can attest to that because at the very last graduation I attended, I was very moved by the attitudes of the men. And in the end, when they've gone through the entire course, it shows something that's blossoming within them. And even those that that spoke up and made it known of their own profession of faith.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, this is important because this is a faith-based program, Bill, that uses aviation analogies to really help men to get their captainship, their manhood. And truly, to get your manhood, you really have to have that alignment with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's our role model. He is the, you know, the person we're trying to emulate and to follow his lead, if you will. And so, you know, this is really special that we get a chance to talk about Wings as well as the faith of other men. And recently, we had a trip to a simulator where we took some parents and some kids to a simulator. Parents who are really challenged with raising their kids. And one specific challenge we want to discuss is the young man who is really battling cancer, Bill, who,
yes,
while he's battling cancer, you know, he's challenging the existence of God. He's not on the, you know, on his knees asking God to heal him. He's not praying at all. He's challenging the existence of God. It's been going on a couple of years, and then he was stricken with cancer. And for the last year and a half, he's been really undergoing chemotherapy. And so can you talk a little bit about faith from that standpoint, Bill, for this young man? Because we're going to pray in a little bit for him and for his really his peace with God, his alignment with God. Can you do that, Bill?
Sure. It comes down to faith. Because even the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it starts out with, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't even come to God without faith. The Bible is very clear on that, that you have to have faith to believe. And if you have the faith, as the Bible puts it, of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. The problem with this young man is he has no faith. He doesn't believe that God exists. But yet, God made him for his own pleasure. It even says in Revelation 4:11 of the New Testament, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That includes us. He created us in his own image for his own pleasure. And this young man just doesn't believe that. There are many people that will, that when you question them or quiz them about the Word of God, they don't believe it because, first of all, they've never read it. And they've never read it with an understanding. But the Bible is clear about this, that no man seeks after God. And unless the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to the Lord, you're not going to get there. No man seeks after God. And this young man needs the Holy Spirit power in his life to draw him to the Lord, to the Savior, so that he can be washed in the blood of Jesus and know him as his personal Lord and Savior. That's my prayer for this young man, that he will know the Christ, the Redeemer, the one who shed his blood, so that we might all have eternal life with him.
And that's a wonderful prayer, Bill, and really an in-depth look at this young man who really, you know, didn't start out this way, as he comes from a good family who's very active in ministry and music ministry. But I just tell you that, you know, parents are challenged today with their kids as they grow up and fight for independence, and they have boyfriends and girlfriends and driver's licenses. They, you know, working on school and careers, they take that turn right or left away from, you know, the Lord and away from that focus on the faith, if you will, even focus on the family because of other things that they're interested in. And sometimes they take it to the highest levels where they challenge the existence of God. And that's the kind of situation that these parents have at this time. And, you know, the Lord says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. I just want to throw that in there, Bill, because the word of God that you just shared right here over the radio waves is all great mentorship for the people. And in the Wings program, we share our faith constantly because it's really the number one priorities in life. You know, we have God first and then you and then family and then work and then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And we put God at the top. And that's exactly, you know, what you're doing, what you're saying here this morning, Bill. And it's just a beautiful thing to identify people who are like-minded, who are aligned with God. And, you know, for again, for our listening audience, one of the reasons Bill is a wingman and a facilitator is because he shares with us the great faith in Christ. He is a rooted in aviation training as well as a former professional private pilot and for more than 47 years. And it's powerful that he has the two things that makes Wings really important to get started as a facilitator. One, you have to be faith-based, really rooted in the Word of God. And number two, you've got to have that aviation, passion, which helps men to get their captainship, their manhood, to handle responsibilities in life. And, you know, it's so important, Bill. And it's just a great privilege, once again, to have you with us here this morning talking about this young man.
Thank you, Joe. I also want to add one thing, and I should have started off with this. We look at the Word of God as our foundation, as our all in all for authority, the authority of the Word of God. And I just want to share Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, because it identifies, it's not just a book. This book and the words that are in it, it says here in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, here's the important part. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Very important. If you don't have that identification with the Word of God, it's hard to be on that level of faith, knowing that when you pray to the Lord, he hears you. But he says that he does. He hears your prayers. And we, as believers in Christ, know that when we go to the Lord and to his throne of grace, he is merciful and he hears us and he wants to just open the windows of heaven and shower us with blessings.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Bill, and so well put. And, you know, with that, you know, we identify the fact that, you know, prayer is really sometimes the only thing we can do. We can make an impact on other people, but we can't convert other people. We can't get them to open the Word of God. It's their choice, as we all have free will. But we know today we have, you know, entities out there who are averse to the Word of God. And I know in 1962, the Word of God was removed from public schools. Prayer was removed from public schools. And many years ago, also, I had the privilege of meeting Judge Roy Moore, who was the Alabama Chief Justice, who was fired for his position on the Ten Commandments remaining in his courthouse, which they were placed throughout the nation, you know. And I'll never forget it. You know, he was a great individual, standing up for the Ten Commandments and fired for his position, you know. And with that, we have so many people, so many agencies in both in government and outside government, corporate America, who really are averse to the incorporation, the integration of the Word of God into schools, into books, you know, into laws. And so with that, we pray, and we're going to pray a prayer right now. If you would pray with me, Bill, on this one, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this precious moment, this time together as brothers in Christ. We thank you for the great gift of faith that has truly brought us together and for the time that allows us to be here. The good health, my friends, that you have been given is a gift, as is faith. And we put our hands into your hands, my Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you guide us and direct us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to open the hearts and minds of other people through the power of prayer. And we ask this through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord. Amen. Because today, Bill, we have really so many people who are, you know, in opposition to the Word of God. We see it very prominently, displayed in the schools today. It's amazing what's happening in high schools and elementary schools, and people who are trying to basically create new laws instead of God's laws as the role model for the young people coming up. You know, have you seen any indications from your position in life today as a father, a grandfather, as a husband, you know, a community servant, any indications of what we're talking about in your walk daily?
Well, one thing that I know for sure, the Bible is true, and Psalm 14:1 kind of says what's on the minds of many out there, and that says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. First, they have to realize that there is a God. I mean, we're talking about people that can't even tell you how their heart beats, why they need to breathe air, the fact that they even grow up from an infant into manhood. They don't know all of these things that God has put in front of us all to show us that he is the God of compassion. He is a God of love, but he's also a God who will chastise you. And like I said in the beginning, he is a God who will draw you by his Holy Spirit to himself, because he loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for us, to die for us all, that we might have eternal life with him.
Absolutely, Bill. And, you know, this weekend coming up, we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it's a very powerful time, the six-week journey, the Lenten season, where we prepare for Resurrection Day and we identify the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as really a tremendous gift from the Father, giving us access to eternity, eternal life with our Lord and our Father in heaven. And so, you know, we know that the Lenten season is focusing on prayer, fasting, sacrifice, and really to a higher level of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And for those who are out there who are challenging, once again, the existence of God, those who would rather not mention the name Jesus,
we just
pray for those people, those individuals who are averse to saying God bless you when someone sneezes, or saying a blessing at a family meal, who are uncomfortable because of that. We pray for those individuals, Bill, because they are out there. Sometimes they're in your own family. They can be in your circle of friends. And you know, God will bring like-minded people together. And I know, you know, there's no time like the present to lift people up, you know, in prayer, to help them to really be inspired by the Holy Spirit to come closer to our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's powerful. And I want to shift gears right now and just mention a gentleman who was on the show last week, Mr. Liam Scully, a 19-year-old young man who came through incarceration for 90 days and 6 months house arrest, and who is now on a 5-year probation and actually has relocated and doing very well. He has a new job, and he's really part of the Success in Reentry in the WINGS program. And that's really what WINGS stands for: winning ideas, nurturing growth and success. But we really pray that God will watch over him, that he will defend him, and that he will protect him and keep him clear of, you know, alcohol situations, which caused him a great tragedy. You know, but he came through it like a champ. And I just want to put it out there, because he had no record. He had no other DUIs, nothing at all. But at 19, he just made an error in judgment and was driving under the influence with two friends in the car who had no seatbelts. And he hit a tree, and those three gentlemen were injured and had to have medical care. But they came through okay medically and health-wise, but he had to suffer the consequences of 90 days up at Bucks County and 6 months house arrest. And now he's, you know, really off of house arrest. He does have the 5-year probation, has started a new job, and he's off and on his way, you know, to a better tomorrow. But only 19 years old, Bill. How one evening can change your life.
Indeed.
Yep. And so in the WINGS program, we've seen many examples of success and reentry. Recently, we had a call from Jacoby McFadden, who was on our program here several years ago, multiple times. And like Jeff Collins, who was also here, Jacoby's now doing very well and working in a recovery program that's pretty prominent in multiple states, and doing a great job out there to help people to move forward from addiction to drugs and alcohol. And, you know, the recovery issue out there, my friends, the epidemic with fentanyl and crack cocaine, methamphetamine, and opiates is very, very prominent. And it's up to you and I to really educate and motivate people especially the children out there who are coming up, Bill, who really are, extended invitations every day through their tablets, their phones, to friends. And it's up to us to educate them and to help them to avoid the tragedies that the young people are, going through each and every day throughout the country. Would you agree?
Indeed, I would.
Yeah, it's something. I remember years ago we had Sarah Benneker here, who was 34 years old when she passed. But at age 16, it all began when she got involved with a drug dealer as a friend. And that circle was very, very focused on drugs and alcohol. And this individual taught Sarah how to do drugs, how to be a prostitute, how to live in abandoned buildings. And he put her in some terrible situations in which she was really in a bad position physically and open and exposed to harm up in New York City on the 17th floor when she was actually tied to a radiator and was rescued by the SWAT team in New York City. Long story short, Sarah unfortunately came down with AIDS and she died of AIDS, but not before she went to the schools with us and gave testimony to the youth, to five schools here in Bucks County. And through the help of the Falls Township Police Department, Sarah, like Jacoby, like Jeff Collins, and many other individuals who were graduates of the WINGS program, even though they were out on parole or probation, they were doing well, and they were invited in with us to give that story, their story, of how they, came through their challenges with incarceration, addiction, all kinds of things. And so that's what we do here at WINGS, really. We try to, gain wisdom from the people who come through our fingers, and we feed out that wisdom to other people, especially the youth who, every year thousands of young people will die in car accidents and overdoses. And so our job is to help them to do it right, to live a good life, and really to do that, you really need to get on board with what God says to do and what he says not to do. And my friends, we only have another 30 seconds. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for joining us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. It's been a privilege and a pleasure having you with us in the WINGS program and as a good friend. And we just want to lift up your brother Rick, who's on his way to Asia today for business. Pray that God will circle him with good people on his trip. And we want to lift up, Bill, your family as well. Your wife, Carlotta, and your entire family. And with that, we want to close our show. My friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day. God bless.